I'd like to share with you tonight some of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're found in Matthew chapter 5. Beautiful words of life. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said of old, that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." I would like you to notice tonight how Jesus instructed us to teach to treat our enemies. He said in verse 44, love. He said, bless. He said, do good. And he said, pray. Now, this isn't something that a man would normally want to do for his enemies, is it? This is something that is not the natural man. This is not a carnal man's reaction to an enemy or an enemy's action. But I believe it's going to take something deeper than our own human strength to be able to comply with the words of Jesus. Loving your enemies is not something that comes natural. But let's read in Luke chapter 18 and verse 27. Luke 18 and 27. He said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." How can I love my enemy? Do you not realize what he did to me? And this great struggle that I'm having, and the injury that he did, and the insult. How could I ever forgive? How can I pray for a person like that? With God, all things are possible. I believe it's going to take something divine that will empower us to be able to love our enemies, to bless people, to do good to those that do us wrong, and to pray for them. Let's turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Amen. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Amen. The wisdom that is from above The wisdom that is divine. The wisdom that enables us to love our enemies. It is something that God gives. That gives us the ability to do that. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know, we can sow a lot of things. We can sow trouble in our own lives and the lives of others. But the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Which would you rather have in your life? Would you rather have peace? Or would you rather have war? If we're going to have peace, we better get a hold of that wisdom that comes from above. That wisdom that is divine. That wisdom that causes us to understand there is something deeper to this than the offense that my enemy committed against me. There is something beyond worrying about my injury. There's something beyond this life. There is a wisdom that we can get a hold of that will enable us to be able to forgive and to love and to treat our enemies in the way that is right. And there is also a wisdom that is from below. That wisdom that is from below says, they did you wrong. They violated your rights. You need to fight for your own rights. You need to get revenge. You ought to hate that person. That's the wisdom that comes from below. That's the wisdom that is devilish, that is sensual, that is carnal. But God, give us that wisdom that is from above. And Lord, help us to be able to sow the fruit of righteousness in our lives and to help spread it to other people. Love grows. And love helps bring other fruits into our lives. No wonder Jesus taught us to love our enemies. Amen. It brings about beautiful things in our lives. Let's read in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. 5 and 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit tends to bring forth other fruits in our lives. It's kind of like a fertilizer that when your heart is pure, when you are sowing peaceable fruits, it tends to bring forth other beautiful fruits in your lives that you will enjoy. And the ones that are around you can enjoy that too. Amen. And I want to tell you, even your enemies can benefit from this fruit from your life. Amen. Love will grow if you will plant it. If you will choose to love those that perhaps you feel like don't deserve love. That love will grow in your own heart and life. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We need some fruits of righteousness in our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Doesn't this sound like a beautiful life? Aren't these the kinds of things that you want to enjoy in your own life and in your own family? For if these be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good fruits tend to bring forth other good fruits. A fertile growing ground for that which is good and happy in your life. You want joy? You want peace? Cultivate love in your life. Love for the Lord. Love for your fellow man. And that includes your enemy. Love your enemies. But if we choose instead hatred, it is a spoiler of good fruits. It will cause the fruits of our life to be rotting and to bring forth other ugly and rotten fruits in our lives. God, help us to be able to love our enemies and to do good to them that hate us. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. These evil fruits will grow in our lives if we will allow them. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 5. David went out and whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when Saul was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands. You would think that Saul would be happy that the Lord had given victory over the enemy. But there was a fruit that Saul allowed in his heart. It says in verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David ten thousands, but to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? A little seed of jealousy. A little fruit that started growing in the heart of Saul. Verse 9 says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that an evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Oh God, help us. That we won't allow a root of bitterness, a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of hatred to take root in our hearts and to start growing, because jealousy can grow and produce other ugly fruit in our life until we start having the fruit of hatred, and this hatred turned into murder in Saul's heart. But Jesus came teaching us, love your enemies. Can you love your enemies tonight? God, give us the wisdom that is from above. He said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. There will be people that will wish evil upon you. There will be people that will curse you. Wish good on those people. Not just with your mouth, but with your heart. And I want to say there's a right way to do it. Amen. Maybe you have an enemy that is giving you trouble. And you, with your mouth, can pronounce a blessing on them in such a way that you irritate them. Yes. Where they're cursing you and they're doing, oh, God bless you. Like you're so holy and all. No, don't do something to irritate them. But in your heart, pronounce a blessing on that person. Pray for that person. Bless them that curse you. Let us read in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Sometimes our enemies may take advantage of us when things are going badly. That happened to King David. David's own son Absalom rose up against him to take the kingdom away from David. What a difficult time for David. And during this time, David encountered someone that cursed him. Let's read in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of the king David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. How would it feel to have your own son rise up against you, to seek your life, to seek to overthrow you from the throne? Do you think David was a man in deep sorrow? Do you think that he was going through a major trial in his life? And as he was down, and as he was so discouraged, here comes this man and begins throwing rocks at the king and begins cursing him and saying, you had this coming. You brought this on yourself, you bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said unto Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. And let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Can you do this to your enemies? When people are cursing you, let him do it. This is just part of what the Lord's allowing in my life. God help us to be able to bless our enemies when they're cursing us. It may be the Lord will look on mine affliction, and the Lord will requite me good for His cursing this day. I want to tell you, when we learn to bless our enemies that are cursing us, the Lord will see that and He will bring good into our lives. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42 and verse 21. Joseph's brothers had come to the land of Egypt in a time of famine. They came to buy food so they could survive. And Joseph was second in Egypt under Pharaoh. Genesis chapter 42 and verse 21. Joseph had put them through a test. He accused them of being spies to spy out the nakedness of the land. And they were afraid before this great ruler. And as they were afraid, they also felt guilty about what they had done in the past. Let's read in verse 21. They said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake not I unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Joseph was speaking to them in the Egyptian language, and the interpreter was speaking to Joseph's brothers in Hebrew. So they didn't know that he could understand every word they were saying. And it touched Joseph's heart. Joseph was a man that cared something about others. He was a man that had some character about him. A respectable man. And it touched his heart. And Joseph understood in verse 20, "And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. Thus he did unto them." Now these were his enemies. These were his brothers that sought to kill him, that sold him into slavery. And they came to buy food, and he commanded, put the food in their sacks and put their money back and give them provisions for the way. How do we treat our enemies? God help us to have something divine, a love that is deeper than a carnal man, than the desire to take revenge. God help us to truly love our enemies. Amen. Let's turn to chapter 44. Joseph continued to test his brothers. And so he required that his youngest brother stay behind when they were going back to be with the father again. Verse 33, this is chapter 44 and verse 33. "Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad not be with me, lest peradventure I see evil that shall come upon my father?" Now, Joseph saw a change in his brothers. Before, they were ready to sell a brother into slavery. They were ready to kill. They were evil. But now they were trying to protect the young son that was favored of the father. It touched Joseph's heart. He saw something in his brothers. He was testing them. He wanted to make sure. He was checking what was in their hearts. And it touched Joseph's heart. Chapter 41, verse 5. Chapter 45, verse 1. I'm sorry. Chapter 45, verse 1. "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it." How many times do you think Joseph thought about father's house, thought about his brothers, and his heart yearned for a normal family relationship, for a time of love, for brethren to support each other? Joseph's heart longed for a true love, and he knew he was rejected. He knew he was sold. But yet, he loved his enemy. He was good to his enemy. And when he realized, my brothers' hearts have changed, oh, it touched his heart. He yearned for his brothers. And he couldn't resist it anymore, and he wept aloud. "Let all these servants go out from me. Send the Egyptians out." And he made himself known. And he hugged his brethren and he wept on them. Oh, how beautiful it is when we're willing to love our enemy. When we're willing to forgive some things and put them behind us. Oh, the ending will turn out good. But if we allow that fruit of hatred, if we allow bitterness in our heart, the story doesn't turn out so beautifully. And he wept aloud. Verse 3, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. You see something? When we have that wisdom that is from above, we see the hand of God in what's happening in life. And even though things are going wrong, even though people may mistreat us, even though people sin against us, we can look beyond that and we can see there's a plan of God somewhere here. And by God's grace, I'm going to love those that are doing me wrong and I'm going to stay true right through this. I want you to know, my brethren, don't be grieved. God's hand was in this. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath a famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you. Did you know you can be a blessing to your own enemies? You can help preserve your own enemies. But you can't do it if you hate them. You can't do it if you won't forgive. But if you'll love them, it can help preserve them in life. God sent me. Verse 8, so that it was not you that hath sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. Do you think his father was happy that day? Do you suppose tears of joy came that day? No, you're telling me Joseph's alive? Joseph is alive? Oh, I imagine the tears came down. Oh, what a happy ending when we choose to love those that have done us wrong. Go tell my father. Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thou and thy flocks and thy herds and all thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes shall see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. Do you think Joseph would have experienced glory in his life had he chosen hatred? There's something about choosing to love our enemies that will bring glory in our lives. Yes, we may suffer some things. We may have to forgive some things. But I tell you, it's going to bring some glory in your life. It'll bring some happiness. It'll bring some preservation of life, of family, of your own soul. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them after that his brethren talked with him. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, God, help us to love our enemies. Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Romans 12 and 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You don't overcome evil by turning evil back to those that give it to you. That's not overcoming. That's falling. That's getting down at the same level. You overcome evil by returning good.
Amen.
That's how you're an overcomer.
Yes.
Don't let that evil overcome you.
Right.
And pray for them which despitefully use you. I want to tell you, they need it.
That's right.
Those that despitefully use you need prayer.
Amen.
They need help.
Yes.
They're in trouble. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Jesus was speaking about His children,
Amen.
Saints of God. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. They have someone watching out for them. Be careful about despising God's children. Those that do us evil need prayer. They're in trouble. God of heaven is seeing and watching, and His angels are keeping their eye. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Consider our Lord. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put Him to death. That would hurt, wouldn't it? If you want to put me to death, at least do it justly. At least bring true witnesses in and tell a crime that I actually committed. But false witnesses? And for the death penalty? That would have been difficult, wouldn't it? To stand there and listen to people lying about you. This fella said this, and just telling lies. This fella says he's Son of God, and he's really blaspheming. The blaspheming part is a lie. He wasn't. That's who he was. He was the Son of God.
Amen.
False witnesses. That would have been hard. Verse 65, then the high priest rent his clothes and saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Now ye have heard His blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in His face. If you're going to spit on me, at least spit on my foot, not in my face. That's really insulting. They spit on His face and buffeted Him, and others smote Him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is He that smote thee? While His eyes were covered. When your eyes are covered, you can't anticipate the blow coming to your face. It just hits suddenly. And I imagine there was some cruel laughter going on at the same time. You Christ, who is it that hit you this time? Would it be difficult? Would you be able to love enemies this evil? Oh God, help us.
Yes.
Give us that divine power, that divine love.
Amen.
That no matter how wrong the wrong is done against us,
Amen.
That we can still love our enemies. Let's turn to chapter 27 and verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, They put it on his head. Do you think they put it on very gently? Carefully so they wouldn't hurt him. And a reed in his right hand, a sign of authority. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him. Have you ever been mocked before? It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to be mocked. God help us that when people mock us, we can love them. It's hard, isn't it? Saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. At least take the crown of thorns off first so it doesn't sink the thorns in deeper. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment and led him away to crucify him. If that wasn't enough, injury and insult and then a death of torture. Can we forgive our enemies? Verse 39, and they passed by while he was suffering on the cross, while the lifeblood was going out, and he was in intense pain, they passed by and reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him, and the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Did Jesus call 12 legions of angels? "Lord God, send down 12 legions of angels and destroy my enemies. Bring down fire from heaven. Cast their souls eternally in hell fire." No. Did he curse them? Did he spit back insults at them? Well, let's read what he did. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Luke 23 and 34, "Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray for your enemies.'" Jesus himself taught, "Pray for them which despitefully use you." And he did it in the depths of his suffering. Shouldn't I be able to do the same? When somebody just insults me with words, when somebody just tells a lie, oh God, help me to be able to pray for that person, to be able to do good to that person. Jesus did this. And I'll confess, I haven't had the whip on my back. I have never had a crown of thorns on my head. I haven't had people blindfold me and slap me and spit in my face. That hasn't happened to me, but sometimes it seems like such a struggle, doesn't it? Oh God, help us to forgive our enemies, to be able to love them. I'd like to take a look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, when he came where he was, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed. He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I want you to understand that the Samaritans and the Jews were enemies. And this poor man that had been robbed and wounded and left for dead, a Jew, when his Jewish countrymen came by, they passed on the other side. But when his enemy came, the people that were enemies, when this man came, he looked and he had compassion and he loved the man whose people were an enemy to his people. Can we love our enemies tonight? Can we love people of all races? Can we love sinners? Can we love those that curse us? God help us. Oh, what a beautiful hymn. This man got help. This man's life was saved. Do you suppose it did anything in that Jew's heart? Do you suppose from that day forward he sought for reconciliation with the Samaritans? I want to tell you, when we sow this peaceable fruit of righteousness, this fruit of love, this fruit of forgiveness, it spreads to other people. It brings healing in families, in congregations, in communities. Love your enemies. John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This was the act of a servant. To the weary traveler, to the guest, let me refresh you. Let me get down before you and serve you. Jesus did this to his enemy, Judas, to the man that betrayed him. To the man that was willing to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Amen. Jesus acted out the role of a servant and got down and washed that man's feet. What can we do for our enemies? Those that have done us wrong, what can we do? Can we get down and humble ourselves before them and say, May I serve you? May I share some of the divine love of God with you? Because we see a need for it. Are we able to do that? Jesus did. Verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, ye are all clean. But not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Jesus knew who his enemy was. So after he washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Master and Lord, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. If the Lord did it, we ought to be able to do it as well. Back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46. Matthew 5 and 46. If ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? What reward is there for loving our enemies? If your enemy despitefully uses you and you return good, I want to ask you, who is it that goes to bed with a heart full of peace? Is it you or is it your enemy? They did you wrong. They injured you. They said bad words, told lies, false witness. And you returned good. I tell you, there is a reward for loving your enemy. It's a heart full of peace. It's being ready to meet God when He comes. And who is it that goes to bed at night with a heart full of misery? Who is it that's a slave to the hatred, whose life is sad? It's the enemy that does the wrong, isn't it? There's a reason that Jesus said, love your enemies. It will bring joy in your life. It will give you a happy life. But if you choose hatred instead, you know what you just did? You just surrendered to your enemy. You just gave your enemy power over you to make you miserable. Don't do it. Don't give your enemy that kind of power. Set yourself free by loving your enemy. Let me tell you something. You love your enemy and you're confusing. What? I treated him wrong. I did this and I did, and he's loving me? What's wrong with that man? It'll confuse him, won't it?
That's right.
But it will also shine the light of Christ into a soul that needs help. Matthew chapter 5, same chapter, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Is there a reward for loving our enemies? Yes, it's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Don't hate your enemy. Start rejoicing and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I'd like to share a little piece with you that I feel like the Lord gave to me. Today is the only day that you have. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may not come. While you have this day, love God. Love your family. Love your neighbor and love your enemy. Live joyfully. Live peaceably.
Yes.
Live zealously.
Yes.
And live prepared
Amen.
For eternity.
Yes.
May God bless you tonight.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.